us. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Join me every afternoon, 3 to 6, right here on KRXA 540. With great guests, hot topics, and a little humor, we help you navigate in today's world. More information, web streaming, and archives at peterbcollins.com. The Peter B. Collins Show, afternoons 3 to 6 on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Bush and congressional leaders have taken the first step in the process aimed at writing new legislation to fund the war in Iraq.
Everyone called it a positive and constructive meeting. Even Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said Democrats will work with President Bush in the search for common ground on a war funding bill he's willing to sign.
We will do that to the best of our ability, keeping in mind the responsibilities we have to do everything we can to end this war.
Nearly identical words were spoken by House Speaker Pelosi, who said Democrats remain committed to end the war. And if they stick to a timeline for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq, President Bush says he'll cast yet another veto. Mark Noller, CBS News, The White House.
Vegans consider themselves at the pinnacle of health consciousness. In Atlanta, a vegan couple become convicted killers because of the diet they gave their newborn baby.
Prosecutors say the six-week-old boy who weighed 3.5 pounds died from complications from malnutrition. Complications suffered, but Lamont Thomas and his wife, who are strict vegans, deny starving their son to death.
CBS's Pete Combs in Atlanta, the automatic sentence is life in prison. The FDA says the warning should be expanded from childhood through age 24 to watch for the drugs to potentially backfire, antidepressants, and spawn suicidal thoughts. On the other hand, Dr. Thomas Zabler at Morristown Memorial Hospital in New Jersey says,
my concern is that young adults and, frankly, others, even in categories where the FDA has indicated there is no increased risk of suicide, may look at this warning and be deterred from taking an antidepressant.
A breakthrough claimed to allow people concerned about osteoporosis to take a once-a-year treatment, a drug called Reclast.
It's not just that this drug proved to be safe and effective in this New England Journal of Medicine study. The big thing researchers say is that it only needs to be given to patients once a year in a 15-minute infusion. They say that eliminates one of the biggest problems of the current crop of oral osteoporosis medications, that older people don't stick with them.
CBS's Barry Bagnato is in Washington. Los Angeles Police Chief William Bratton says procedures will be examined after police fired rubber bullets at some immigration demonstrators and went after them with batons during a melee at the end of yesterday's march.
Some of those officers' actions would appear to be based solely on the videos, and this is why we investigate more thoroughly. Two have been inappropriate in terms of use of the batons and possible use of the non-lethal rounds that were fired.
15 of his officers were injured by rock and bottle throwers. Late word on the SUV that hopped a curb and plowed into a crowd of students outside a middle school in Belmont, California, near San Francisco. Two of the injured kids are badly hurt, could be life-threatening, we're told. 14 people were hurt, including the driver of the SUV. Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 76 points, the Nasdaq up 26. Oil prices, $63.68 a barrel, down 72 cents. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mama, happy Mother's Day. Let's take your worries all away, give you a special Mother's Day. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of where to go this Mother's Day. Go out back, where the pasta is bold, the steaks are juicy, the chicken tender. It's a nice way of saying thanks. No worries.
Let's go out back tonight.
This Mother's Day, let go.
Every day is Mother's Day.
Go out back.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
One of of the world's worst alleged child sex abusers is on his way back to the U.S. for trial.
Labeled as this country's most wanted accused child pornographer, Kenneth Freeman now faces extradition to the U.S. to face federal charges, as well as those in Washington State. The former Washington sheriff's deputy allegedly raped his young daughter, then widely distributed the videos online. U.S. Marshal Michael Klein says the apprehension of Freeman in Hong Kong is not unusual.
We frequently are in different parts of the world cooperating with foreign governments to secure or arrest people and have them extradited.
Freeman was arrested by Chinese law enforcement officials. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
Marine biologists are trying to track down a missing olive turtle. It was wearing a GPS collar when the signal stopped moving several weeks ago at a tiny coastal village in Indonesia. The assumption is villagers captured it and ate it. Laws on protection competing not so well with hunger pangs. Scientists just want the little black boxes so they can download the information on what the turtle's been up to. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
What can you be sure of today? You can rest assured the sun will rise. Somebody will fall in love. Heroes will be born. And even from today, you can be sure of tomorrow. Just as reliably, you can depend on the people of Citgo. Because for decades, we've been delivering a steady, secure supply of Venezuelan oil that helps fuel our way of life, today and tomorrow. Citgo, there at every turn.
A dozen for you today, hon?
Yeah, give me a few jellies, some Boston cream, a couple of crumbly peanuts, and some peace of mind, please.
Coming right up, sir.
What if you could buy peace of mind? Well, you can with Ford Lincoln and Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles, because we notice everything. Everyone must pass a 115-point inspection, and it's all backed by our 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty coverage. Now that's peace of mind.
And I'll have some total satisfaction as well.
See your dealer for limited warranty coverage details, or visit FordCPO.com. That's FordCPO.com.
Right here.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, the United States would divest itself of all of its nuclear weapons, and the nuclear weapons, too. We're going to talk about that first up. Joseph Cirincione will join us in just a moment. Also on today's program, Max J. Castro, a sociologist and a bilingual columnist based in Miami, is going to join us to talk about the other Castro, Fidel, who didn't show up for May Day parades in Havana. And The Nation magazine has a whole issue devoted to the longest-running bipartisan policy failure in U.S. history. That's our policy toward Cuba. Also on the program today, Mike Lux from American Family Voices. He served in the Clinton administration. He'll join us. We'll get his take on the Dennis Kucinich impeachment bill. And also the Democratic, it's not a debate, the joint appearance last week on MSNBC. Then we're going to talk with John Diaz. He is the editorial page director at the San Francisco Chronicle, and he's on the Federal Aviation Administration's watch list. He doesn't know why. And every time he goes to the airport and they subject him to the Procto examination, they can't tell him why. We'll explore that a little bit later. Cindy Sheehan's going to join us in the Free Speech Zone today. Talk about a big post-Mother's Day march that she's planning in Washington, D.C. And all along the way, there's room for your phone calls, for comments and questions. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. And you can always send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. First up today, Joseph Cirincione joins us. Joe Cirincione was at the Carnegie Endowment and is now a senior vice president at the Center for American Progress. He's got a powerful new book out called Bomb Scare.
Some things don't come for free.
That's Midnight Oil. Put Down That Weapon, a song all about nuclear issues. Bomb Scare is the book by Joe Cirincione, subtitled The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons. Joe, welcome back to our program today.
Thanks, Peter. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And it's always nice to talk with somebody who knows how to pronounce nuclear.
When you can say Cirincione and nuclear proliferation together, you really got something going.
Well, that's true. I never thought of it that way, and thanks for putting it in context. This is a fascinating new book that you've written, and it appears that you've been working on this for a few years. It straddles your experience at Carnegie and now your new post at the Center for American Progress. Is that a correct inference?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, I'm now talking to you from a borrowed phone at the Henry L. Stimson Center, where I used to work in the 90s, and I was over here. We were having a debate with some Israeli proliferation experts over the subject we're about to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working on these issues for about 25 years on the staff of the House Armed Services Committee and GovOps Committee, and then in the think tank world for about 15 years. And I tried to bring all that to bear in Bomb Scare, give people an idea of why we've been so afraid of these weapons and fascinated by them, what the current dangers are, how they compare to past dangers, and what the debates are and what the solutions for getting out of the mess we're in.
One of the places I'd like to start, which I think is a central point of your book, is that while having nuclear weapons present on this earth and controlled by different nations does represent a risk, and you do not diminish that in any way, when you put it in context with the Cold War, we are at a lower level of risk than we have been since the Manhattan Project. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is fair. And, you know, we live in an era where, or maybe it's always been like this, where the dangers are always kind of hyped up, and they seem that there are real threats, but they're sometimes made to seem more immediate and more dangerous than they really are. And, for example, when I started doing this, in the 1980s, what we were worried about was 5,000 Soviet warheads screaming over the North Pole and obliterating the entire nation, and by the way, taking the planet with it. And we had books like Jonathan Schell's Fate of the Earth. We had millions of people in the streets of Washington and European capitals demonstrating against what they feared would be a nuclear war that might break out between the United States and the Soviet Union. We got out of that mess. We had policies, we had leaders who chose the right policies that de-escalated those threats and solved a good number of those problems. Now we worry about the very real threat that a terrorist group could get a nuclear weapon that could destroy a city. Mm-hmm. That is a terrible threat, but it is orders of magnitude away from the death of a planet. So we have to, you know, keep these in perspective. And when you do that, you realize that there's a lot more hope than people realize,
mm-hmm.
that there are policies out there that work, that we have made the right decisions in the past, and we can do so again.
So then you probably believe it's a brilliant strategy that Bush took us into Iraq to distract al-Qaeda from its aim of acquiring a nuclear weapon, because they're so busy at the central front in the war on terror.
Well, you know, you still hear the president, you know, talk about Iraq and in the same sentences talk about 9/11 and al-Qaeda and terrorism as if those things had anything to do with the war in Iraq. You know, al-Qaeda was not in Iraq before we invaded them. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. They didn't have nuclear weapons. They weren't about to get nuclear weapons, let alone transfer them to al-Qaeda. So, you know, that's an example of how a government has hyped the threat, has fanned our fears in order to sell us a product, in this case, a war that we didn't have to fight and that has now proved to be absolutely catastrophic to U.S. national security interests.
And that was so successful, like our Castro-Cuba policy that we're going to talk about in half an hour, that Bush is ready to do it again. He is hyping the threat posed by Iran and suggesting that we need to take action in the near term to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapons capability.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, you know, you have a real debate inside the administration between what I would call the pragmatists and the hardliners. And the pragmatists, currently symbolized by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, you know, are in favor of some kind of outreach to Iran, of working out some kind of arrangements. There's a stick on that in their policy, the sanctions and diplomatic isolation, but also, and I think you might see this weekend at the summit that's called in Egypt to deal with Iraq stabilization, you might see Condoleezza Rice make a move towards Iran. But those pragmatists...
Bush has asserted, I think he was quizzed by a British reporter yesterday, that Condi's always polite. And she'll be polite if the Iranian representative approaches her.
Yeah, well, let me make a prediction here. I think what you're seeing now is both in Tehran and in Washington, you know, the politicians playing to their base and assuring them that they're going to be tough and they're not going to make any concessions. But I bet that because the need for the U.S. to get Iranian cooperation, both to stabilize Iraq and to deal with this nuclear issue, I bet you're going to see the beginning of a dialogue broached by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be fiercely resisted and condemned by the hardliners in the administration, like Vice President Dick Cheney, who I believe does still believe that the only answer to Iran is a military solution. And then there's the Iran war chorus that you hear daily in Washington, led by the Weekly Standard editor, Bill Kristol. He's the angry one, not the funny one. And then Charles Krauthammer in the Washington Post and Max Boot over in the Los Angeles Times and people at the American Enterprise Institute, this neoconservative gang that got us into the war of Iraq, they are actually calling for war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't ignore them. They're small, they're in a minority, but they proved very influential just 4 years ago, and their voices still might prevail. Now, I think the risk of war with Iran is currently low, but it's not zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I never count these guys out.
Yeah.
You got to put a stake through their heart. They just keep coming back.
Joe Cirincione, last week I interviewed Al J. Venter. He is a 40-year British journalist who's covered military affairs for the Jane's Defense Publications. And he was so eager to get this information out that before I even asked him a question, he said, you know, I believe that Iran already has a nuclear weapon. What's your take on that? Is there development still as far back as it appears, trying to get centrifuges, trying to produce highly enriched uranium, HEU?
It's absolute nonsense that Iran has a nuclear weapon. We have a very good idea of where their program's out. Thanks basically to IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, inspections over the last 4 years and revelations from Iranian dissidents and our own intelligence work and that of our allies. And they are still at the beginning stages of a program to produce the material for a bomb. That's the enrichment of uranium. Now, they claim it's for fuel, but the problem is the same machines that can enrich uranium to low levels for fuel rods can enrich it to high levels for bombs. So it's a question of, do you trust them or not? Right now the world is saying, no, we don't trust them. But we know, based on where they are, with roughly several hundred centrifuges operating and maybe 1,000 installed, that it would take them about 5 to 10 years, if things went well, to be in a position to make either fuel for a reactor or fuel for a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
The rule of thumb is you need 3,000 centrifuges operating for a year to make enough highly enriched uranium for one bomb. Right now, they got a couple of hundred operating sometimes. Still have a number of technological hurdles to overcome. That means we got time to work this out.
All right,
we'll take to find a diplomatic solution.
We'll take a break and continue with Joe Cirincione. Pick up his new book called Bomb Scare. It's out in hardcover. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment, now's the time to call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the Secret Garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. America's nuclear weapons developed from the Manhattan Project during World War II. And this is a song about that effort from the Canadian band called Rush. Take a listen for a minute. Talking with Joe Cirincione, Vice President for National Security at the Center for American Progress and author of this new book called Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons. And Joe, I was impressed by the historical angles that you took in the book. And the way you talked about the different factors that drive nations to want to develop and possess nuclear weapons, take a minute to talk about that and how it has shaped the nuclear club here on planet Earth.
Sure, Peter, but I'm impressed by the musical angle you take. I've never heard that song.
Really?
That's terrific.
Well, you've got to go to a used CD store and ask for Rush. Geddy Lee is their lead singer, and I try to hide this, but I spent the 1980s on a hard rock station.
There you go.
And that's where I discovered that one.
I didn't know I could have a musical soundtrack to nuclear proliferation. This is great.
Well, you also have to pick up that Midnight Oil CD. It's the one with Beds Are Burning on it. And Put Down That Weapon's a pretty powerful song,
that
too.
That is. That's great. That's great. So why do countries not want nuclear weapons? Well, there's a lot of literature out there on this. And for the book, I basically surveyed the field. This is what Columbia University Press wanted me to do. They said if the library's going to have one book on nuclear weapons and nuclear proliferation, we want it to be yours. So I sort of give you the overview of what people think about this. And then it turns out you can boil this all down to five basic factors. And there's the three P's, power, prestige, and politics that drive most decisions, and those are complemented by technology and economics. And power is the one you see the most. Sometimes people call it security or even power projection. It's why we got the bomb in the first place. We thought Hitler was trying to get one. We wanted to offset it. It's why the Soviet Union got the bomb. They had to compensate for our power, make sure that we weren't going to attack them. And that's the reason most countries get it. But there's also a prestige factor. They think this is the tool of a great power, the totem of great power status, and you see countries like India grabbing for it, mm-hmm. to show that they're a great power too. And then finally, domestic politics. Never underestimate the power of domestic politics in driving this decision. You see it operating in Iran right now, where President Ahmadinejad is using this nuclear issue as a nationalist cause to rally support for an otherwise unpopular regime.
Well, we also see in Pakistan, where AQ Khan is seen as the father of their nuclear weapons program, and despite the way the U.S. has projected it, we have sat still and allowed this guy to go into cozy retirement without really demanding that he come clean on his extensive proliferation over the last 15 years.
Yeah, so we don't really know if that AQ Khan black market has been put out of business or it's just lying low, or even if it still might be operating in the dark shadows and could come back at some point. Plus, of course, you have the whole issue of Pakistan, a country with enough material for 50 to 100 nuclear weapons, with an unstable government, strong Islamic fundamentalist influence in the army, and armed Islamic fundamentalist groups operating on their territory, including, we now know, Osama bin Laden,
mm-hmm.
who's been allowed to reconstitute training camps in Pakistan.
And Joe, you argue in the book that Pakistan's development of a nuke has actually stabilized its frosty relations with India.
Well, that is true. There's an argument that says proliferation is good in some cases, that it stabilizes situation, sort of prevents a conventional war from happening, and you can see that operating in South Asia. The problem with that analysis, however, is that if something goes wrong, if for whatever reasons you destabilize, then the consequences are 100,000 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're not talking about a war that's going to kill thousands of people. It'll be a war that kills tens of millions. That's why the stability argument is a little disingenuous.
Yeah. I got time for one more quickie, about 30 seconds. What do you make of Putin's objections to the U.S. giving phony missile shields to the Czech Republic and Poland?
Well, he's using this for his own purposes, of course. He's very concerned about the U.S. expanding into his sphere of influence, his borders, which we had promised not to when NATO first expanded. But he's also got a good point. If these weapons would work against even an Iranian threat, then they certainly would work against the Soviet arsenal and would destabilize, that is, start triggering an arms race where he would feel he'd have to build up his arsenal to prevent our defenses.
Fortunately,
I think we're going to pull the plug on that program and prevent this whole controversy from getting out of control.
Oh, that's a good idea. There's much more in the book, Bomb Scare, The History and Future of Nuclear Weapons. We've been talking with Joseph Cirincione. Thanks, Joe.
My pleasure, Peter. Anytime.
Okay, appreciate it. Coming up next, we take a look at Cuba.
From progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd, the taxi driver, and most days I really enjoy driving the cab, meeting different people, talking with them, just seeing how their life's going. But last night, I picked up a regular customer, and it turned out to be anything but a regular fare. Instead of giving him a ride home as I usually do, he asked me to give him a ride to the Amtrak train station. He said he had to meet up with his unit. He was redeploying to Afghanistan. I've been against the war from the very beginning. But until that moment, I hadn't known anybody personally serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. It brought the war home to me immediately. As we parted ways, I didn't know what to say. I know I'm going to look at the war differently now. Every time I hear on the news about an ambush or a car bomb, I'm going to think of my friend and hope he's safe. This is Todd the taxi driver, hoping the day comes soon that this senseless war will end and all our troops will come home safe. Until tomorrow.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this portion of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to talk about the longest-running policy failure in American diplomacy, Cuba.
I was walking, driven up highway. I saw above me, under the skyway. I saw below me, a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for me. I wonder.
to talk about Cuba is the co-author of a book called This Land is Our Land, Immigrants and Power in Miami. He is Max J. Castro, a sociologist and a bilingual columnist, and he writes for The Nation magazine. Max, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter. I this is my first column in The Nation. It was a guest column. I don't want to take credit for too much.
Yeah, I wasn't clear on that. And did you guest edit this issue? Because it's an issue that has more than one article about Cuba, right?
Yes, it is. It's a special issue that it has some excellent articles about Cuba from specialists on the subject. People actually... from the mainstream academia, taking a very, very critical view of U.S. policy towards Cuba,
mm-hmm.
As well as others. And I did not guest edit it. It was Peter Kornbluh, actually, who guest edited this.
Okay.
And I'm really grateful to him for inviting me. I've mm-hmm. been a columnist for some time, and it's one of the things that I still do, but for Miami Herald, I have published a column there for a few years in a Nuevo Herald, the Spanish edition. I had an occasional column in La Opinión in Los Angeles, which is the mm-hmm. large Spanish language paper there, so forth.
Okay. And first of all, the new issue of The Nation arrived in my house yesterday, but I haven't managed to read it yet. I did read your article online entitled Miami Vice, V-I-S-E. And it's a fascinating overview of the political situation and the political power of the Cuban-American electeds from Miami, and now including Senator Menendez from New Jersey.
That's correct. I mean, in a way, it's a good news, bad news story. The good news is that a group of people who came here in one generation have done very well. The bad news is that the people who have the power in that community, in my community, are people who are kind of stuck in the politics of the Cold War and the late 1950s and 1960s, and are insisting on maintaining a policy that hurts the Cuban people. They're insisting on maintaining a policy that is against the better interests of the American people,
mm-hmm.
and also that really the people that are hurt the most are people in Miami, Cubans in Miami, who have arrived in the last 5, 10, 15 years, who have very close relatives to Cuba, and because of the latest twist in this perverse policy, cannot go to see their close relatives except once every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no humanitarian exceptions. So you can see the kind of human tragedies that kind of policy will inevitably bring on.
Mm-hmm. And Max Castro, as I look at the picture here, I describe this as one of the longest-running policy failures of the U.S., and it has owners of both political parties. And on the one hand, that is a tribute to the organizing power and the fundraising power of the exile community, not only in Miami, but primarily there. And it also just shows that even though some very bright people, members of both parties, have identified that this policy is a failure, that it continues to have a life of its own, because of the kind of dynamics that have been set up by the exile community. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the exile community has really wielded more power than one might imagine of a community of 1.5 million, of which only a minority now really support this policy. But that minority is empowered. And those are the people that are registered to vote, and especially the people that can give large political contributions.
Mm-hmm.
And they focus like a laser beam on maintaining this particular policy. And so they have maintained this policy against, the wishes of the Pope, who visited Cuba and said, that the world should open to Cuba. They've maintained it against the wishes of a very different sort of group, American agribusiness, who wants to do commerce. Small farmers in Iowa that want to have more access to the Cuban market, et cetera. So that is the combination of groups here that see the folly of the policy. And yet, much as with, let's say, the issue of tobacco or firearms, a minority of people with a lot of writing on this issue were willing to spend all their political capital on this one issue can hold off for a long time against the wishes of the majority because of the peculiar politics of our country, the fact that, you know, money is the mother's milk of American politics, the fact that Florida is a state with a huge number of electoral votes, a swing state, that, as we have seen, can turn presidential election.
Mm-hmm. Well, Max, to me, one of the glaring examples of the political clout of Cuban Americans is often glossed over. It surfaced in the impeachment proceedings against Bill Clinton.
I know where you're going.
Yeah. Monica was under the desk servicing the presidential thing, and she was asked to corroborate her testimony that she was actually in the Oval Office on a given day at a given time. And so she volunteered that while she was pleasuring the president, that he took a phone call from one of the Fonyul brothers. And these are sugar barons in Florida who are heavy contributors. One of the brothers contributes to Democrats, the other to Republicans. And this phone call was to protest that the day before, Al Gore had announced a new plan for the Everglades, an environmental upgrade protection plan. And it flew in the into the business interests or counter to the business interests of the Fonyul brothers.
And I've used that. That's interesting. I'm amused that you bring that up. I've used that very example in some settings. You know, it's the kind of example that you don't want necessarily to use in every setting with every audience.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, you know, this happened in, with a little bit less detail than you have given. and I said, that's clout. You know, that's clout.
Yeah.
To take someone to take. Your call, but what it's being.
Well, and let me just interject that the thing that was focused on at the time of impeachment was, well, she's credible. She knew who was on the phone. Nobody took a look at it and said, wait a minute. The president just did a favor for a major contributor because within days, the Gore plan for the Everglades was rescinded and then modified.
Yeah, well, you know, it speaks to the power of this lobby. It also speaks, of course, to the corruption of American politics on a bipartisan basis. We have seen both parties really kowtow to this, you know, minority within a minority that really is functioning, I think, on two levels. One is just, you know, I mean, a revolution is a very painful thing, and many people are hurt. And I can understand that. I am part of that community myself, but you have to move on and. You know, as the South Africans did, and so forth. There's a point at which you have to say, you know, let's look at the larger picture. Let's look at the interests of the Cuban people, future Cuban generations, and let's look at the interests of the United States. Instead of, you know, let's have a vendetta with Fidel Castro and revenge.
Well, and let's be realistic that our policy has been counterproductive and the evidence has been available for tens of years that it is U.S. policy that strengthens Castro's hold on power in Havana.
Yeah, I would say first of all, it's morally wrong because we're hurting the Cuban people. It's a big nation trying to impose on a smaller nation a particular program. So first, my first objection would be moral, but also it is counterproductive. People do not open up when you are threatening them. We have seen in our own society here how one attack really has eroded democracy and human rights and civil rights in this country. You can imagine what a small country that does not have the long libertarian and civil and democratic tradition of the United States, how a country of that history, subjected to decades of attacks and threats and continuing threats and escalating threats, how that would be completely counterproductive
and
from
Max,
the standpoint of promoting democracy or more openness.
Max Castro, it was shown to me pretty explicitly that our policies thrust Castro into the orbit of the Soviet Union in the 1960s and 1970s. And now our continuing efforts, ham-handed as they are, to try to continue to isolate him have thrust him together with Venezuela. Now, I happen to have a more positive view of Hugo Chavez than most members of the Bush administration. I have some concerns.
That's not very hard.
I have some concerns about his ruling by decree and some of the steps he's taken recently. When you zoom out and look at it, we have helped Castro buddy up with Chavez because of our efforts to freeze both of them out of the world community.
Well, absolutely that, you know, the U.S. policy towards Latin America, going back for a couple of centuries, set up a situation, you know, that was ripe for the kind of revolution that took place in Cuba. I mean, Fidel Castro does not spring full-blown from, you know, some kind of alien spacecraft. He's a product of many decades of U.S. intervention in Latin America, and you know, someone who decided that he was going to have a revolution, and in order to have it, given the history of U.S.-Latin American relations, he had to have it with a lot of help from outside. He had to have it in a very hardcore fashion. Otherwise, he would end up the way the Guatemalan, you know, social democratic reformist regime in 1954 did, overthrown, etc. So he mounted a very hardcore regime, I think, in my view, in part to be able to sustain what he knew would be the attacks, even if the revolution had been much milder. So I think that's correct. I think in regard to Chavez, you know, people say, well, you know, Chavez is, and I have my criticisms of Chavez as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chavez often, to me, to my ear, sounds bombastic and demagogic. But
Yep. Nevertheless,
you know, I hear these criticisms that, you know, he's wasting the money of his country, et cetera, et cetera. I remember in Miami, watching the wealthy Venezuelans come with the oil money and so forth, and you know, ask for, give me two of this, give me three of that, and they were talking about cars. You know, they weren't talking about radios. So, you know, to waste quote unquote the money, the oil money on, you know, giving people some poor people subsidies to be able to eat, or you know, to pay for Cuban doctors to give medical care to people who never had it before. Well, you know, to me, I'm not as offended as people that now who never complained about when the money was being frittered away in Milan and in Miami, you know, who are now thinking that, well, you know, this oil money should be invested for infrastructure and future development. Fine, but, you know, where were you before, you know, on this happening, and now... And now Chavez is the worst, you know, the worst, and so forth. So I take that, all that, with a more than a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and continue. Max J. Castro is our guest. His article appears in the brand new edition of The Nation magazine, and you can find it online at thenation.com. It's entitled Miami Vise, V-I-S-E. Oh, and here comes a sockless Don Johnson right then. We're going to take a break and continue. If you have a question or comment, call me now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Starting May 14th, The Ed Schultz Show moves to 9 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540. So join us for the best in talk radio, news, commentary, and your calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be on The Ed Schultz Show, 9 a.m. to noon, starting May 14th, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Tune in to Todd the Taxi Driver, Monday through Friday, 3:30 p.m. I'm Todd Hurlbert, host of The Week in Politics. Each Monday night at 10 p.m., we get together and talk about the political issues that are important to all of us. We'll cover the local issues, we'll talk about the Washington, D.C. issues. I'll share my opinion, then you call me and tell me yours. That's Monday night, 10 p.m., The Week in Politics.
I've never seen so many knobs. We're going to have to do something, Charlie. Try pushing that button now.
No, not that one.
No? How about that one? No, not that one either. I know. I'll try pushing this one. Hold my hat, would you? There's a good fella.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. Our guest is Max J. Castro. He's written a powerful article that's part of a package, a special edition of The Nation magazine, about U.S. policy toward Cuba. And Max, next I wanted to ask you to explain to our listeners the terms that you use here in Spanish, El Exilio Histórico, and then I think we get a laugh out of El Exilio Histérico.
Well, you know, an exile that goes on, you know, or a migration that goes on as long as this one has, from 1959 to the very moment today that I saw in the Miami Herald webpage that 12 or 14 Cubans had arrived just yesterday in Miami by boat. You know, it's sort of like wines. You know, there you have different vintages of exile. And the people who arrived in the very early period were mainly people of the Cuban elite, and they are the ones that have the lion's share of power now, and they, you know, consider themselves, some of them, depending on their political attitudes, as you know, the historical exile to differentiate themselves with from some later arrivals. Who, in some cases, some of these historicos, you know, in a way, look down on us as people who have come for economic opportunities, as opposed to having been, you know, exiles from day one, and they sometimes, you know, think that you know, they have different values, and why didn't they come earlier? And obviously, they were in complicity with Castro, and so forth and so on. So this historicos, the historical exiles, who you know, the WAGs, the critics call hysterical exile, because often it goes with the kind of antics that you saw around some of, for example, the Elian affair, the Elian Gonzalez affair.
See,
you know, a very kind of very emotional and in some way. In some way, you know, easily lampooned style. So these historicos or people who have that mindset really control the vast majority of power in the Cuban American community, from the six members of Congress who are there, who are basically historicos. There's one that was born in the United States, who really is not an historico if you were, you know, strictly speaking, but he's. Identification is as an historical, and so forth.
And who is that?
Menendez.
Menendez of New Jersey.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Was a good guy, I think, from a working class background, whose parents came here before the revolution. But he's lived, you know, he's represented an area of New Jersey where there was some of the hardest core exiles were, and he's never been able to break away from that, even though his politics overall are fairly progressive.
Yeah.
But on this issue, you know, everybody's more or less in lockstep, at least the politicos. And so this group, you know, has you know, they hold the positions on boards of directors in civic organizations in Miami. They run the universities,
mm-hmm.
so forth, and they are on the boards of trustees. You know, not every person that came in that era, I'm one that came as a child in that era, necessarily has that point of view. But most people who don't and are in that group, you know, and have a little bit of power, you know, they don't speak up because the consequences are devastating. And often, and I know several people who have, you know, who have positions, you know, responsible positions in South Florida. And, you know, they have to make a calculation. They think that they're doing good work for the community and for people, and in many cases, they are.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to speak out on this issue forcefully, they would quickly lose the ability to do good things in the community because this issue would overshadow any other issue. And they would be out of a job and out of the capacity to influence things in a good direction. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, my position in this regard, and I know because I've had consequences, but, you know, it's not about me, but is, you know, I don't try to push people to who are in that position to sort of come out of the political closet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a huge political closet in Miami of people who are specifically in that position that I just described.
Now, Max, tell me a little bit about the two brothers in Congress. Diaz-Balart is the family name. Lincoln is the older brother who was born in Havana, and Mario is the younger, born in Fort Lauderdale. I have the cheat sheet here.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, their father, they come from a family, a very, I would say, a very conservative or even reactionary family in Cuba. The grandfather was an attorney for United Fruit in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
The father of these two guys was you know very involved in Batista's kind of youth wing of Batista's group in Cuba.
Batista was the
dictator
ruler overthrown.
Castro
right.
overthrew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, curiously enough, their aunt was married to Fidel Castro.
Oh, really?
Their family comes from the same area of Cuba as Fidel Castro,
mm-hmm.
and she was married to Fidel Castro.
And you're no relation.
So they're related. I'm not related, but they are. And you know, there's an American author, Anne Bardach, Anne Louise Bardach, who is actually, I think, from the Bay, not the, exactly from California, who has written a book, you know, Havana Confidential, which basically tries to understand or explain this Cuba situation as a family feud. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a quite interesting book.
Yeah.
You know, it's a combination of political analysis and gossip,
mm-hmm.
And it's quite amusing. But you know, they are related. But perhaps for that reason, they are really probably the two most virulent, you know, attackers of,
mm-hmm.
of Castro, but of anybody that, you know, that is critical of U.S. policy.
Max, I'm going to have to stop here because the clock indicates we're out of time. But I want to thank you for your work. Thanks for talking with us today. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you for the invitation, Peter.
I want to recommend that people go to thenation.com or, better yet, pick up the magazine and read your article called Miami Vice, V-I-S-E. Max Castro, thanks.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with Mike Lux, Democratic activist, about impeachment and other topics.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The House fails to override the veto.
This vote, the yeas are 222, the nays are 203.
And the president meets with congressional leaders.
Common ground, sure. Compromise, no one will commit. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was a foregone conclusion, but the House went through the motions today. There weren't enough votes to override President Bush's veto of the measure that set a timetable for withdrawal from Iraq. Afterward, there was a White House meeting to talk compromise.
A day after subjecting the war funding bill to the blunt force trauma of a veto, President Bush urged Democratic leaders to join him in a search for common ground.
I think it's very important we do this as quickly as we possibly can. I'm confident that we can reach agreement.
Common ground is fine, said Democrats, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made clear that doesn't mean compromise.
But make no mistake, Democrats are committed to ending this war.
In fact, neither side is committing to compromise. President Bush demands funding for the troops with no strings attached, while Democrats insist that ending the war is their top priority. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
There was a subtle shift in the president's language on Iraq when he spoke today to a contractors' convention in Washington.
Either we'll succeed, or we won't succeed.
He defined success as a reduction in sectarian violence. In the past, he's insisted we were winning, although not as quickly as he'd hoped. Mr. Bush warned of more bad days ahead.
Casualties are likely to stay high.
He said Al-Qaeda is public enemy number one in Iraq. Now this.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by four trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
Hi, Dave. Larry here. Hey, next Tuesday, one wheel from every pallet truck is going to fall off. Strangest thing. It'll basically grind the floor to a halt. How about that? Just wanted you to be prepared. Bye.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. From casters and wheels to carts, trucks, and conveyors. We have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch. Or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
A railroad bridge in Myrtlewood, Alabama collapsed today under the weight of a train hauling segments of space shuttle booster rockets. There was no explosion or fire, but six people were injured in the wreck. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
I don't think this is a major safety threat as it stands today. The real issue is can these segments be used for flights in October and December as NASA had planned, or will the space agency have to use different segments because of possible problems with these?
NASA says the accident will not delay the shuttle program. Atlantis is scheduled for launch June 8th. The segments involved in today's derailment were not for use on that flight. For a while now, the government has required a black box warning on antidepressant drugs, saying young people under 18 might have an increase in suicidal thoughts or behavior. But CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports the warning will be expanded.
Now this new action by the FDA says that those warning labels should be extended to people who are 18 to 24 as well, because studies show that they, too, are more likely to have suicidal thoughts right when they first start taking some antidepressants.
Researchers have come up with a new osteoporosis treatment that you only have to take once a year. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
There are drugs you can take for the bone loss disease osteoporosis, but most older people don't stick with them. There can be annoying side effects like stomach troubles. In a New England Journal of Medicine study, University of California researcher Dennis Black says a drug called Reclast works better.
There were consistent reductions in all the various types of fractures.
And best of all, it's easy to deliver.
In a single annual infusion, which can be given as part of a routine visit to the doctor.
Specialist Dr. Felicia Cosman. The drug did raise risks of abnormal heart rhythms here. The FDA should decide within a year whether to approve it for osteoporosis. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A Georgia couple who adhere to a strict vegan diet have been found guilty of murder and cruelty to children and the starvation death of their infant son. The child died at the age of 6 weeks. Prosecutors say he'd been fed almost nothing but soy milk and apple juice. Police in Hong Kong have arrested Kenneth Freeman, a former sheriff's deputy from Washington State, who allegedly raped his own daughter and posted video of the crime on the Internet. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Mama, happy Mother's Day. Let's take your worries all away, give you a special Mother's Day. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of where to go this Mother's Day. Go out back, where the pasta is bold, the steaks are juicy, the chicken tender. It's a nice way of saying thanks. No worries.
Let's go out back tonight.
This Mother's Day, let go.
Every day is Mother's Day.
Go out back.
Farmers Insurance brings you this important message about the coming storm season. As you know, the best defense... That's why our agents are among the best in the business. It's not just... So be prepared this coming storm season. Call 1-800-FARMERS for an agent near you. That way, you'll be as prepared as...
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk with John Diaz. He is the editorial page editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, and he recently discovered that he is on the TSA watch list. Every time he goes to the airport, they give him the third degree. And we're going to see if he's been able to discover why. At the airports, they tell him, hey, you're on the watch list. Why? Well, nobody's allowed to tell him. We'll explore that a little bit later this hour. About an hour from now, Cindy Sheehan returns to our program. She's still waiting for George W. Bush to find time in his busy schedule to talk to her. Returning to our program today is Mike Lux, who heads American Family Voices. He's a Democratic communications guy who worked in the Clinton administration and does a lot of good work these days. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Nice to talk with you again.
Yeah, it's great to be back on.
Got a couple of things I wanted to work over with you, and one of the things I've been looking for is a well-informed and credible Democrat who is opposed to Dennis Kucinich's bill of impeachment, because I've been trying to understand why the leadership is so resistant to it. Not that I think that it's a slam dunk or that it should be the first priority, but simply because I believe that accountability is important, that this is the first opportunity to exercise oversight and to bring to bear the full extent of the law on those in the Bush administration who appear to have violated the law. And I want to know just what your position is. What do you think?
Well, you know, I'm not for pushing that right now, and I'll tell you why. It's a political maneuver, and Dennis knows that. I mean, he knows that it's not going to pass. Everybody knows that even if all the Democrats in the House and the Senate voted for it, George Bush would still be in office. And so it's purely about politics. So the question is, since it's purely about politics, is it a good political thing to do? I actually come at this with the experience of having managed the outside campaign against the impeachment for Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at the time at People for the American Way, and People for the American Way works on constitutional issues. And we took on the impeachment battle when a lot of other liberal groups didn't want to touch it. They thought somehow they would be sullied if they said something or did something. But we took it on, and we did a whole multi-million-dollar campaign to fight against it. And so I come to it from that experience. What I learned from that is that the American people really get deeply uncomfortable with the idea of impeachment very fast. They didn't like what Bill Clinton did. They didn't like the fact that he had lied about it. But they thought the Republicans were way out of bounds because they, you know, when you did focus groups, when you did polling, what people would say is, look, we elected the guy. We don't want to kick him out. He'd have to do a hell of a lot worse than this to be kicked out. Now, the pro-impeachment folks argue, you know, with good merit, that, of course, Bush has done a hell of a lot worse than...
I wish we had a blue dress to introduce as evidence, you know, and there have been protesters. I saw one, a woman carrying a sign at a protest in Washington saying, would somebody please give Bush a BJ so we can impeach him?
Right. I know, I've seen those posters, too, which I think... in fact, I saw one poster which had a sign in front of a church saying that, which I thought was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that right now we have Bush completely on the defensive. We have Bush, I mean, we're holding him accountable every day with congressional hearings on all kinds of subjects. We're pushing back against him on all the different issues that we want. Why throw something like impeachment that automatically, raises suspicions and hackles of people and makes us seem more partisan?
Well, I have some answers. First of all, because Gonzalez is still the attorney general, and it appears that despite his, you know, lies and dissembling under oath twice before the Senate Judiciary Committee, that the president is not inclined to replace him. We have an administration that wants to pursue more wiretaps and has now informed us that despite what Gonzalez told us in January, that they don't think they really can submit every request to the FISA court. So here we have intentional lawbreaking by the administration. And, Mike, I am less interested in the politics of this than I am in the constitutional issues. I believe that we have a rogue administration. And if we do not lay down markers and hold them accountable for what they have done to date, that they will attempt to do more, and that it will embolden future administrations to break the law with impunity. And so I understand the misgivings. I do understand that impeachment could possibly become an albatross to Democrats and could cost some people elections in 2008. It's a wobbly thing. It's very hard to predict how it would play out. And we know that the Republicans are good opportunists and that their noise machine could frame and play it in a way that would not advantage Democrats. That said, I don't care. I think that it's more important to protect our democracy and to set a standard for America and the world that we will not tolerate this kind of activity by our elected leaders.
Well, I think that's a great case. I think that's a compelling case. And by the way, I'm all for, especially as the evidence comes out, I'm all for impeaching Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that son of a bitch lied to Congress under oath. He did all kinds of illegal things. In my view, this is what's going to come out, is that he did all kinds of illegal things at the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does not resign or Bush doesn't fire him, I'd be all for going after him. that's obviously a side point, but I just,
well, no.
I just wanted to say that.
Mike, I think that's part of the big picture of accountability. And I agree with you about Gonzalez, and I think that we've got him on some, you know, relatively minor issues, because to me, the torture policy, the NSA spying, and many of the other law-breaking efforts of the Bush administration that have his fingerprints all over them are cause for his dismissal and or prosecution. So I'm with you there. And so why do we draw the line that we can go into this political process to remove Gonzalez because it's so clear what he's done wrong, yet I believe it's equally clear what Cheney and Bush have done that's run afoul of the law and their own oaths of office. And, again, I'm not sure that impeachment would lead to their removal, but I think it's important to set that standard and say we will not tolerate this kind of behavior.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I just think there's a lot of different ways that we can say we will not tolerate this behavior, and that we can hold them accountable on very specific things, on very specific issues, and push back on them in all kinds of different ways. And to say the things that they are doing are not in any way things that should have been done or should be done. I think that there's a variety of legal things that we can do with them. I just think at the bottom line is when you have an elected official, and you know you could argue, of course, that they stole the elections, but since we can't prove that, we can't prove it. But we can prove it in 2000. But
let's call them office holders.
Office holders. but I mean, they went through the election process. They were certified to be the winners of the election. I think it's a different kind of thing than an appointed official like Gonzalez to say we're going to remove the person who the American people elected to be president. I just think you have to have an incredibly high standard of proof and the political will to do it, because it's a political decision. You know, whether you remove an elected official is a completely political decision, and right now we aren't even close to having the political will to do that. So I guess my point is, given that, why go through the process? And I understand where you're coming from, too, and, you make a very eloquent case for why we should do it. I just think you can hold him accountable in a variety of different ways that hurt him more, that get at him more, and that make him more accountable.
But threatening him with potential removal from office? I mean, what could control his behavior more effectively?
He knows it's an empty threat. That's my problem with it. I'd rather do stuff that is not an empty threat. I would rather go at him more aggressively on specific issues. I would rather subpoena the hell out of him. I would rather go after indictments of his appointed officials and impeachment of his appointed officials. I would rather get aggressive in those ways where we probably can get something done rather than do something that he knows is an empty threat.
Well, I understand that as the votes would be counted today, it does appear to be an empty threat. But it's interesting, Mike, because 2 years ago, Cindy Sheehan came on the program before she had even gone to Crawford and set up Camp Casey and become a well-known mother of a lost Iraqi veteran. And I offered kind of the same remarks that, sure, I think these guys, are criminals and we should deal with them, but I don't think impeachment is practical. And she said, you know, Peter, people said that about Nixon. And Mike, I was starting my youthful talk show career at the time of Watergate, and that's an episode I know a whole lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it didn't appear that Nixon was really impeachable until the investigations went forward and the Irvin Committee unearthed a lot of the information. And ultimately, it was principled Republicans who persuaded Nixon to resign instead of facing impeachment. And I believe that that is potentially possible, particularly as we get closer to a day of reckoning for those Republican electeds in 2008. I got to take a break, so I'll let you respond to that afterward. And we're going to take some calls, too. If you have a comment, join us right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. We're talking with Mike Lux from American Family Voices, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
May 14th, 9 a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Joe Hoskinson with a look at your roadways. We do have an accident clearing up in Salinas, Nashua Road at Del Monte Road. A big rig, in fact, that lost a box of produce and damaged another vehicle. CHP is on the scene. Also in Salinas, Old Stage Road at Natividad, we have a bag full of wood and metal debris in the roadway. Also in Soledad, northbound 101 before Campora, Gloria Road, an injury crash. It looks like a solo car overturned, landed in the center divide. Emergency crews are on the scene. And so far, traffic on Highway 17 is looking good. No problems as you make your way out of Santa Cruz, or into Santa Cruz rather, from the top of the summit southbound and back into Santa Cruz. And let's look at traffic brought to us by ARCO. ARCO would like to remind drivers out there of a few things. First, always signal when you make a lane change. Second, photo enforced traffic cameras do not make good headshots. And third, never pay too much for gas. ARCO, feel smart. I'm Joe Hoskinson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Next up, it's Neil Young. I mean, come on, Mike Lux, we even have the theme music for it.
I like it.
So I had to run to a break there and cut you off. What did you want to add to the remarks I was making there?
Here's my response to this. When Sam Ervin started the investigations, those were not impeachment hearings. Those were not committee hearings about whether the president should be impeached.
That is correct.
They took a long time to sort of lay out the case. I'm not arguing that we shouldn't investigate him. I'm not arguing we shouldn't hold investigative hearings, you know, up the wazoo. I think we absolutely should. I think we should go at him very aggressively. But I don't think we should start with impeachment.
Okay, and I'm with you there. I believe that it should be on the table, just like all options are on the table, Bush says, about Iran or anything else, and that Conyers should be permitted to let the Judiciary Committee run with this. And if it leads to a bill of impeachment and it's voted out of the committee, then the House itself can evaluate that. And it takes a very high standard, of course, to bring charges of impeachment. And I just think it should not be precluded. I don't have the result in mind and believe that, you know, Democrats should drop everything and just impeach these SOBs. I think that, though, it should not be left out or ignored.
Well, you know, given that, I'm not sure we actually disagree. I just don't think that's where we should start.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think if we get there, you know, if that's where the process leads us, you know, All good with me, but I think that when you're doing something political, you know, and again, that's what impeachment is. It's a political tool that Congress has.
It's also a constitutional tool, and I don't think it's optional when the evidence suggests that we have a president and or vice president who have, you know, actively and intentionally violated the law.
Well, it's always optional. We've had plenty of presidents who violated the law over the history of our country. So it's not like, you know, I mean, it's a vote up or down. That's mm-hmm. why I say it's political.
All right, let's talk to Laird.
And we don't disagree. If that's where the process ends up,
mm-hmm.
great. I just don't think that's where we should start.
Okay, Laird in Eureka, welcome. You're on the air with Peter B. and Mike Lux.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Mike.
Hey,
I called the other day and said I didn't believe that impeachment was going to happen, and this is the reason. This is what we're hearing now, and I'm not trying to attack your guest,
mm-hmm.
because I hear this at work. I hear this wherever. You know, oh, we don't have enough time. He's going to be out of office pretty soon. Every day this guy is in office is a new crisis. When is it going to stop?
Well, and we were at this point in Bill Clinton's second term when the impeachment bus got rolling.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
So the Republicans didn't say, oh, gosh, he's going to be out in another, you know, 14 months. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know about Bill Clinton. I'm not sure that anybody even wanted to throw him out of office. I think that was all about embarrassment. This guy...
No, I think Richard Mellon Scaife wanted to throw him out of office.
Well, I'm sure there were a few.
I mean, he spent millions of dollars to try to achieve that.
Right. But this isn't, to me, this is not a political issue. This is a criminal issue.
Well, Mike, you want to respond?
Well, I certainly understand where you're coming from. And partly what we're talking about is semantics. But to me, any issue in front of Congress, any issue that requires a vote of Congress, up or down vote, to me, that's how you define a political issue. It's not, these guys are not judges, they're not juries, they're politicians, and they have to vote on it. They don't go behind a closed chamber and confer as a judge would or as a jury would.
Yeah.
They're politicians, and they do it all in the public light. And that's why I say it's a political process.
Mm-hmm.
And, when you're in politics, you know, you have to understand where the votes are and what the dynamics are, and that's all I'm saying.
All right. Laird, thank you for your call. Let me jump to line two here, and it's not even up on the screen there. Who's with us here? Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Peter.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I'm stunned, actually, to hear these remarks. I've got a son that's in Iraq right now. And he has the courage to go there, but this guy's worried about the political, the votes and this and that. And I want to stand in front of the White House and just scream, everybody, get out. Get out now. And I just, to hear this guy just gesture, and I think you're just spot on, Peter. And I just can't imagine why this guy doesn't just say, hey, I need to get to work. There's business that has to start.
Okay,
now.
Gary, I'm out of time here, but I thank you for your call. Mike, a final word?
Well, you know, I totally agree with the man who wants us to get out now. It's a matter of, you know, when you're in a democracy, you have to figure out how you do that.
Mike, I'm out of time here. Thanks for joining me today.
Great
appreciate
to be on,
the
Peter.
Yep, enjoyed the conversation. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
What's best for the troops? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. In a tussle between the president and the Democrats over Iraq war funding, there's one thing that both sides agree on. It's all about the troops. The president says so.
Surely we can agree that our troops are worthy of this funding.
Harry Reid says so.
A veto means denying our troops the resources and the strategy that they need.
The funding bill was for the troops, and the veto of the funding bill was for the troops. But these people ought to read their Constitution. The troops, courageous and dedicated though they may be, have no special rights, and the founders intended them to be completely subject to Congress and the President. If the troops want to say, they have the right to vote like everybody else. In fact, how about this? If the President and Congress really mean it, if they really believe it's all about the troops, then they should strip away all deadlines and benchmarks and attach just one provision to the funding bill, and it would be this. All soldiers eligible to serve in Iraq, whether on active or inactive duty, whether currently serving in Iraq or on standby at home, would get to vote on whether the occupation continues. If this is really about what's best for the troops, let's just ask them. I bet they'll know. The question would be simple. Do you want to continue the occupation of Iraq without deadlines or benchmarks? Yes or no? The troops would vote by secret ballot, just as they would in a regular election, and the commander-in-chief and Congress agreed to abide by the results. Unless they're prepared to do that, then all this talk about what's best for the troops is, what's the word? BS! Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
The Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
What happens when you go to the airport these days? You get in that long line, take off your shoes, remove your belt, hope your pants don't fall down as you go through the metal detector. Well, the humiliation and delays that average people face have become a fact of life, and I guess we've kind of gotten used to it. I still bristle at the idea that I can't carry liquids on the plane of more than 3 ounces. When we know that the liquid bomber Bojinka 2 plot that was broken up in London last year was barely, you know, any threat to the United States. Despite the way it was played by the Bush administration, it was a minor threat by a group of people who hadn't even advanced their conspiracy far enough to get passports and airline tickets for this alleged effort that we were told was ready to be unleashed within a week or two of its disclosure. So I am one of those people who feels that the way we have hardened our airports is a kind of empty gesture. Because, sure, hardening the cockpit doors and some of the other steps that have been taken do make sense. But I've seen too many grandmas, too many moms traveling with 3 kids who were sent to the extra special, what I call the Procto line, for the extra thorough investigation before they were permitted to pass to the gate. And it's just it's a waste of time and money, and I don't believe that it makes our air system more secure. Well, add to that the no-fly lists and the TSA watch lists, and they appear to be a little bit different. Ted Kennedy, the senator from Massachusetts, is on the no-fly list. And every time he goes to the airport, he gets the third degree. And you'd think that a guy like him, who's so easy to identify, wouldn't have that problem. But it does occur. We're working right now to reach John Diaz, who is the editorial page editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. He wrote a first-person piece that was published in the Chron last week that indicates that he has recently had problems at airports, and it turns out he's on the TSA watch list. John Diaz joins us now. Hello, John.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm better than you. In fact, I'm going to the airport tomorrow night, and I don't expect to have the kind of problems that you've been encountering with the fine uniformed people from the Transportation Security Agency.
Yeah, well, don't be so sure until you try printing out your boarding pass from home, because that was my first clue that something was wrong.
Yeah. So walk us through this. You were having no problems, and, you know, for business and your work, you probably fly, a few times a month?
Not a few times a month, but usually a couple times a month. Mm-hmm. And it's only really been within the last month that I've had problems, but two separate airlines, Southwest and then United, I tried, as I always do, to print a boarding pass from home, and then was unable to do that. And then, of course, when you get to the airport, since I was only doing carry-on baggage, you figure, well, I couldn't do it from home, but maybe I could do it from the kiosk.
Mm-hmm.
Was not able to do that, got the same thing, see, ticket agent at counter. And in both times, the ticket agent, I was asked what's the delay about, was told that it was because I was on the watch list, quote unquote. I didn't really think much of it the first time at Southwest, but the second time the agent was a little more specific and said you're on the TSA watch list, so you'd have to ask them if you want to know why you weren't able to board in the normal routine way.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the people at the airport either don't know or can't tell you why you're on the TSA watch list.
My understanding of this, Peter, after doing a little research into it, is they don't know. And in fact, they don't even know if you've been flagged, whether it's because you're actually on the watch list or because you have a similar name or birth date or other characteristic of someone else on the watch list that they think may be trying to board. Mm-hmm. They actually don't know it, and there are actually there are times, my understanding, again, some other research and reporting that's been done on this, is a lot of times the TSA, be a computer, sometimes be a phone, will ask them certain questions, like if it's a Peter B. Collins, gee, does he have an identifying tattoo, or mm-hmm. does he have a beard, that kind of thing.
Is it the bald one, yeah.
They will answer that question. but again, you just don't know. And so to be clear, I mean, I don't actually know that I am on the TSA watch list, because they will neither confirm nor deny whether you are.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you a process for appealing, but you don't really know if you're actually off the watch list until, you can fly easily again.
Well, and you probably have some misgivings about pursuing this. I mean, I would compare it to the spam email you get. And they say, if you don't want to receive this, penis enlargement email, just click here. And I always believe that if you actually click there, it's going to encourage them to send you more.
And so you're suggesting by complaining that TSA may take a closer look at me or
right.
whatever. Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, of course, that's not my character not to ask questions. You know, I'm a journalist,
mm-hmm.
as you are, and you know how that goes. But it's been very interesting. And the column ran last Friday in the Chronicle. How many horror stories I've heard of not only individuals who have been put through this hell and much worse than I have over a long period of time, but in some cases their children, like their 5-year-old kid, when they themselves have not been on the watch list, but their 5-year-old kid is. Well, I don't think too many 5-year-olds on their own are going to be joining Al Qaeda without their parents' knowledge.
Yeah, I mean,
and which is, I guess it's a glib way of making the point, Peter, that one of the concerns I have here is we don't know how effective this is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, from what I'm hearing from a lot of people who have these kinds of stories, that it's so haphazard, and we're getting, it's the old saying with computers, garbage in, garbage out. If we're stopping all the wrong people and too many of the people, is that making it easier for the people we really do want to stop to slide through?
We're talking with John Diaz. He's the editorial page editor at the San Francisco Chronicle, and he's found himself on the TSA watch list. Now, the watch list is different from the no-fly list, right?
Right. There are a couple different categories, the most strict of being the no-fly list. And if you're on that, which there's been a couple famous cases, like Cat Stevens, for instance,
mm-hmm.
ended up on the no-fly list. If you're on the no-fly list, you actually cannot board a plane in the United States. So that's obviously a different level, and certainly there has to be a threshold for being an imminent threat there. Although, again, there's been a lot of mistakes on who's been put on the no-fly list. And, in fact, I was talking with a representative of the TSA who said that they acknowledged that maybe the list was a little broader than it needed to be or had some mistakes in it, and they claim to have clean that up and cut it roughly in half in the past few months.
Now, they didn't say something aside like, we can only deal with what the NSA and the FBI give us?
No, this is what another thing that is so frustrating about this, Peter, is here we have this government list that can inconvenience you and restrict your, basic freedoms and activities, and they won't even say what the criteria are for these lists.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, and they have no accountability. Congress cannot, find out what's going on. There's no independent watchdog. So all I can say is when you're giving government that type of power to intrude on people's lives with no accountability, kind of reminds me of the old expression, shouldn't we have a government of laws and not of men, that we shouldn't count on the benevolence of those in power at any given time, that they're not abusing these powers in some way?
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is reminiscent, too, of the one of the contested portions of the Patriot Act that required librarians to disclose to the government what books I have checked out, but did not permit them to tell me that they had told the government what books I have checked out. That's a real scary Big Brother slippery slope into fascism, in my view.
Yeah, and it definitely, the rationalization, of course, TSA will give for not letting us even know what the criteria or even the aggregate number of how many people are on this list is they said, well, we really can't let the bad guys know what we're looking for, how we're looking for it, because then the bad guys will know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go down, talk about slippery slopes, Peter, if you go down that rationalization, that's dangerous territory. That we're basically saying, well, due process doesn't really matter. The result is what matters.
Well, and John Diaz, I don't want to overstate this or appear alarmist, but I'm very concerned about the terms in the so-called Military Commissions Act of 2006, because as it was enacted, it permits the president to designate anyone as an unlawful enemy combatant, including a U.S. citizen like you, and you can easily create a scenario where you move from the watch list to the no-fly list to Gitmo.
Yeah. Again, you know, you're right. There's not that check and balance. And what's the even in a very, you know, sort of a low-grade abuse of this? You know, Peter, if you or I are in that secret TSA room overseeing that list, and there's no accountability or whatever, I mean, even something, you know, is seemingly, you know, low level is one of our neighbors irritates us, or, gee, there's somebody who we see on TV that we don't like or read in the newspaper. Let's just put them on and give them a little hell
mm-hmm.
next time they go to an airport. I mean, we need those kinds of checks and balances. At least tell us what the criteria are for that, those kinds of lists.
And, John, you know, Senator Ted Kennedy is on the no-fly list, and he has tried to get off. And what you just described could be the way he got on that list, that somebody said, let's stick it to a liberal.
I mean, and Loretta Sanchez, a congresswoman from Southern California, ended up in a similar, I believe she was on the watch list. She was actually able to fly, but as I did, had to go through the additional security measures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is really not, you know, a safeguard. Now, for all of those who are listening to this program who say, oh, this is absurd, Bush administration will never do this, you know, all of you liberals are paranoid. All I can say is when you put in a set of rules, you have to apply it if the shoe is on the other foot. If Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or John Edwards, you know, name whoever becomes president who you disagree with, do you want to give them the same powers? That ought to be the standard.
Yeah. We're talking with John Diaz. As I mentioned, he's the editorial page editor of the San Francisco Chronicle. He's found himself on the TSA watch list. And if you have a comment, and in particular, if you have been singled out for special security scrutiny at an airport, either because of a watch list or for other reasons, we'd love to hear from you. And if you just want to comment on the use of this process to, quote-unquote, secure America, you're welcome to call us. Toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. And this portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is brought to you by Naked Airlines.
I used to fly with my clothes on till the airline clothing banned. We went from scanning to banning. One airline had tanning, and this was the ad they ran. Fly safe. Naked Airlines. No carry-ons, no clothing, no laptops. Well, laptops. And I'm feeling shy. Instead of metal detection, no clothing directions from the nude flight attendant, a guy. Damn. Fly safe, fly naked. No weapons to find. You're safer with nothing on. Naked Airlines.
Hey, it's time for a break. We'll continue in a moment. If you have a question or comment, call me now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
And a good afternoon. We'll take a look at what's going on right now in the Monterey Bay. We do have a few problems in Soledad, northbound 101 before Campora. Gloria Road, an injury crash involving an overturned car, is still clearing up. Also, watch out for debris in the roadway, northbound 101 after Main Street. A piece of particle board in Salinas, that's in a lane of traffic. And Old Sage Road at Natividad, we have a bag full of wood and metal in the roadway. Let's look at traffic brought to us by Shell Fuels. Low-quality gasolines can allow gunk to form inside your engine. Shell gasoline, stop the gunky buildup. Shell, made to move. I'm Joe Hoskinson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Show. Got to add some to the list of Only in America.
Only in America. Can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire?
Yes, only in America can we have a system at our airports that tags the wrong people and subjects them to delays, interrogation, potential humiliation. John Diaz is our guest right now. He's the editorial page editor at the San Francisco Chronicle, as you heard. He recently discovered that he's on the watch list of the Transportation Security Administration. And John, my resentment is building. Because I feel that we have overdone the airport security thing to the point where it really does slow down commerce and inconvenience people with very little benefit. Pardon me. And I'm still chafing at the recent regulations that were imposed last August about carrying on liquids. And, you know, that Bojinka 2 plot that was busted up in London was barely underway. Yet the U.S. played it as if they were going to, you know, be on 12 planes the following week. 25 people were arrested. Less than a dozen are still in custody. The alleged ringleader has been downgraded to some sort of a sap. And, you know, we are still on full alert, and they confiscated my Crystal Geyser water bottle the last time I tried to get on a plane.
Well, I would say this about that. You know, Peter, in terms of the liquids and all of the measures, taking off your shoes and everything, in terms of airport security, look, I want the planes to be as secure as anyone else. I mean, when we're up there, we're obviously vulnerable. 9/11 showed what could happen. But I guess what concerns me when you look overall at our efforts on terrorism is, in a way, that's fighting the last war.
Yeah, the Maginot Line is the comparison
and
I make.
Exactly. And when you look at some of these other concerns, such as the inspections at the ports that are not being done, what we've seen with this pet food contamination, mm-hmm. the vulnerability of our food supply, I mean, there's an awful lot of wide-open gaps right now that maybe ought to be getting more government attention. And again, I'm not being dismissive at all about the need to protect airplanes because, as we saw in 9/11, they mm-hmm. can be turned into a weapon against the United States.
But we also have been feared up to the point that we passively accept these things. We certainly can't talk about it at the airport or we'll be tagged as some sort of an uncooperative potential terrorist. And we simply acquiesce to these measures without any real examination of how effective they are and what the true costs are.
Yeah, you mentioned a very important word there when you said effective, because not only do we not know who is on this list and why and whether it's justified, but we have no idea whether this is doing anything in terms of stopping or even deterring would-be terrorists, because the federal government has exempted itself from any kind of scrutiny, including the Privacy Act of 1974 does not apply to this list. Otherwise, if the government keeps files on you that are not related to any kind of ongoing investigation, you can find out. But you can't in this case, and you can't go in and see, you know, on what basis. And as we talk about these erosion of civil liberties, which I think are very real and very much a concern after 9/11, because you do need to strike a balance, the question I keep coming back to is, at what point are we going to get back these liberties that we've given up?
Mm-hmm.
Because the war on terrorism, by definition, is an open-ended war. It's not going to be something that's going to be settled with a treaty on an aircraft carrier. It is surrender ceremony on an aircraft carrier or on a tent in the middle of the desert.
Or at Versailles.
Exactly. this is something that is probably going to be with us to some degree or another for the rest of our lives and beyond. So all these liberties that we're giving up, I would ask, what politician is going to have the mettle to come in and say, hey, it's time, we've overreacted, it's time to roll back, because they're so risk-averse, the idea that they don't want to be blamed for if something did get wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I try to be even-handed about Senator Feinstein. I'm pleased that she has introduced a bill to close Guantanamo Bay, but I am continually stunned that she wants to support Arlen Specter's efforts to paper over the whole NSA illegal eavesdropping program. And now the White House is backpedaling from the Gonzales promise in January that they would submit to the FISA court. And that, you know, was a sense of relief to some people. They're now saying, well, maybe not. And I'm not hearing any objections coming from the so-called liberal Democrats.
Yeah, they really threw out from the Patriot Act on, there's really been a lot of timidity on Capitol Hill to standing up to any of these things. And the NSA wiretapping is a really good example, because the administration has been so effective, the Bush White House, at playing off fear on this. I mean, every time we commented on editorially, we'll get a number of letters from people who basically parrot the White House talking points of, well, gee, if, you know, if you're talking on the phone with Al-Qaeda, you know, we want to be able to, you know, listen in or find out, you know, figure out why you're calling them. Well, clearly within the FISA laws, any of the contingencies that the White House has reasonably argued
mm-hmm.
Would require domestic surveillance are covered. And the threshold is so low, they don't need to even get, under the FISA laws, they don't even need to get advance notice. They can come in retroactively.
Right.
It's just that kind of judicial review that keeps these powers from being abused. And there's just an awful lot of examples that have been allowed to occur in this climate of fear. And I can't help but think that this fear is being promulgated partly for political reasons.
Well, I certainly agree, and I'd probably say that a little stronger. John, just about a minute remaining, and I just want to turn to one other thing. I really appreciate the work that you and your colleagues on the editorial page have done regarding the prison system in California and the serious problems that have festered for too long. And in particular, you have the most balanced view of the issues related to life prisoners. There are about 25,000 guys. Many have been in since the mid-1970s, and many of them were promised the possibility of parole, but it has been politically denied to them by successive governors. Schwarzenegger was good about it in the first year, and then as he approached re-election, he kind of looked to the prison guards for cues and stopped processing those in a fair way. But the Chronicle's been a very strong voice on behalf of those individuals. I just want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And that's an issue that we will continue to focus on, because there again, I think you have a problem of a lack of political spine, because nobody wants to be seen as soft on crime. But there are so many of these inmates that we've focused on, including most recently this Lozell Woodmore, who basically are serving far more than they should. Or
right. John, I'm out of time. Thank you very much. John Diaz of the San Francisco Chronicle.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. His veto survived a House vote today. Now President Bush is talking compromise with Congress.
I think it's very important we do this as quickly as we possibly can. I'm confident that we can reach agreement.
He met this afternoon with House and Senate leaders on a way forward now that it's clear Congress can't impose a timetable for withdrawal from Iraq. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
Today's unsuccessful attempt in the House to get a two-thirds margin and override
this
the veto.
Vote, the A's are 222, the nays. 203
reminded Democrats, as much as they want to force the president to bring troops home, they simply don't have the vote.
The president can veto our attempt to secure a safe, orderly, phased redeployment of our troops, but he can't veto reality.
One thing both sides agree on, they must reach some kind of compromise that funds the troops, and soon. Their goal? Memorial Day. Jim Axelrod, CBS News. The White House.
A new development today in the U.S. attorney firing. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has that story from the Justice Department.
This is the first allegation that anyone involved in the U.S. attorney firings may have broken the law. The two internal investigations here are now probing whether Monica Goodling, who was a top lawyer to the attorney general, asked candidates for career prosecutor jobs whether they were Republicans or Democrats. Justice Department policy and federal law both prohibit the use of political affiliation and hiring decisions for career positions.
Goodling resigned from the Justice Department last month after telling Congress she'd plead the fifth if called to testify about the firings of eight federal prosecutors. The Food and Drug Administration has decided to change the warning labels on antidepressant drugs. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports the warning will expand to include patients up to 24 years of age.
Up until now, the black box warning labels on antidepressants have applied only to people younger than 18 years old. And those warning labels state that people who start taking antidepressants when they're that young should be monitored very carefully for the first couple of months to make sure that they don't have any suicidal thoughts, suicidal behaviors.
The danger actually decreases in people over 65.
It needs FDA approval, but CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato says researchers have developed a new and very convenient drug to prevent osteoporosis.
It's not just that this drug proved to be safe and effective in this New England Journal of Medicine study. The big thing researchers say is that it only needs to be given to patients once a year in a 15-minute infusion. They say that eliminates one of the biggest problems of the current crop of oral osteoporosis medications, that older people don't stick with them.
One potential problem, the drug reclassed, caused irregular heart rhythms in a small number of women. On Wall Street today, the Dow up 75 points to a new record close, 13,211. This is CBS News.
Hey, Mama, happy Mother's Day. Let's take your worries all away, give you a special Mother's Day. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of where to go this Mother's Day. Go out back, where the pasta is bold, the steaks are juicy, the chicken tender. It's a nice way of saying thanks. No worries.
Let's go out back tonight.
This Mother's Day, let go.
Every day is Mother's Day.
Go out back.
Your name means a lot to you, but in the wrong hands, it can mean more to someone else. With Wachovia, if your identity is ever stolen, dedicated fraud specialists will work with you one-on-one to help recover any lost funds. And they'll stick with you until your identity is restored. Protecting your good name. Another feature of Wachovia Free Checking. Stop by, call 800-WACHOVIA or visit Wachovia.com. Are you with Wachovia?
Free Checking is for personal accounts only. Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. members FDIC.
CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson has an exclusive preview of a report on children's health coming out tomorrow. It says nearly 24 million kids, twice as many as experts believe, don't have year-round access to medical care.
To close the gap, president of the Children's Health Fund, Irwin Redliner, is on Capitol Hill lobbying for a dramatic expansion of the $5 billion Federal Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP. Redliner wants to add 9 million more people to CHIP, plus dental and mental health benefits and transportation. Getting that type of government assistance may be a long shot, but Dr. Redliner says it's cheaper than the cost of neglecting the medical needs of a generation of children. Cheryl Atkinson, CBS News, Washington.
Walmart is recalling packages of Baby Connection brand bibs for infants. The bibs have cute pictures of Sesame Street characters, but they also contain unsafe levels of lead, which can cause serious developmental problems. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
If your car or truck is ready for new tires before your wallet is, hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership.
I can help. Take a tip for me.
Buy tires now and pay later with our genuine service credit card. Plus, bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. New tires, installed by four trained experts. Buy now and pay later. See your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership for details today. Offer ends June 30th.
Hi, Dave. Larry here. Hey, next Tuesday, one wheel from every pallet truck is going to fall off. Strangest thing, it'll basically grind the floor to a halt. How about that? Just wanted you to be prepared. Bye.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. From casters and wheels to carts, trucks, and conveyors, we have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
This half hour, Cindy Sheehan joins us in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Cindy Sheehan, thanks for joining us again today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And nice to talk to you again, Peter.
I want to just start off by giving you credit because you changed my mind.
About?
About impeachment. One of the first,
oh, good.
One of the first times I talked to you, I believe it was late July of 2005, before the first Camp Casey in Crawford.
Uh-huh.
You were about to depart for there. And we had a talk, and you raised impeachment, and I said, well, yeah, it's a nice idea, but it's not practical. And you argued with me, and you changed my mind. You referred back to the Nixon era, when many people doubted that he could be forced out of office, and that we didn't know exactly, you know, what levers to push, where to apply pressure, and exactly where the toothpaste was going to squirt out of the tube. And I just want to give you credit for that, Cindy, because ever since that, we have talked pretty openly on our program about the criminality of the Bush administration and that the true remedy is impeachment.
Well, you know, I just wrote in an article, you know, impeachment is not a constitutional crisis. The Bush regime is a constitutional crisis, and really the only remedy is impeachment. You know, we can't let these people just run amok, and no matter who's our next president, they can't think that, you know, they're above the law like George Bush has thought that he's above the law this entire time. No citizen of America is above the law, not even the president.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for your strong public statements and your consistent advocacy on these issues. And last week, you and others gathered near the Capitol to embrace Dennis Kucinich's bills of impeachment, the three charges against Vice President Cheney.
Right.
And Cindy, it is still stunning to me that there is a virtually complete corporate media blackout on the subject. It only comes up in passing if Jack Murtha, who recently made a comment that impeachment was one of four ways to blank or check the president, the news people seized on that. Are you want impeachment? Do you support impeachment? But they didn't bother to reference that Dennis Kucinich has already introduced a bill. And the Washington Post wrote one article about it that was smarmy and snarky and simply, attacked Dennis Kucinich for his height and other things that have nothing to do with the issues in hand.
That's amazing. I think Dana Milbanks wrote that article, and he is smarmy. And, you know, he's not much taller than Dennis Kucinich, which, you know, is here nor there. It doesn't mean anything. Dennis Kucinich is a giant for introducing H.Res. 333. And today, two more congresspeople, you know, co-sponsored it. And this is what we need to be doing. We need to be calling our congresspeople. We both live in California. We live in one of the most progressive states in the nation. And the California Democratic Convention just passed a resolution for impeachment this past weekend. So all of our elected officials should be co-signing Dennis's bill. The more co-signers we get, the more attention that his bill will get. And I guarantee you there's attention in the White House about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's really interesting the way the media in this case appears to have colluded with both the Republican and Democratic leadership to say this is not news.
Well, it's not very surprising. All along, I think when George Bush came in and appointed Colin Powell's son Michael as head of the FCC, that was just about the death knell for corporate media in our country. I mean, it was actually good for corporate media, but it really was a death knell for true objective reporting. If we didn't have people like you and other progressive media outlets, we would truly be in trouble in this country.
Well, we are in trouble because outlets like this and Air America, we're outnumbered still 14 or 15 to 1 by right-wing media. And, of course, that right-wing media still keeps bashing the alleged liberal media, and I can't find much of that.
I know. That's something that they like to talk about, and that is just another smoke screen about everything. But, you know, Peter, the grassroots has mobilized and become active in our country. The last poll said only 22% of the people still agree with George Bush and the war and George Bush's handling of the war and the direction our country's going in. And I have to believe all these people must watch Fox News. And that's less than one-fourth of our country. So we've made great strides despite the corporate media.
Well, I agree. The problem is that there are average people whose viewing, you know, tends to favor, you know, American Idol and a lot of distractomatic television, and they're not hearing about this. And, you know, I am just floored that we went through this whole episode with Clinton over a personal sexual matter that
right.
had no real bearing on his ability to do his job as president. And here we have an administration that's openly broken the law, that brags about it, then, you know, treats us to this Gonzalez testimony, which is riddled with lies and misstatements and dissembling. And this is permitted to stand, you know, without much critical reporting or really delving into the underlying issues. You know, the media could do a lot of things with the impeachment story, including, you know, their grounds to criticize Kucinich for not lining up enough co-sponsors. You're right. Congressman Clay, Lacey Clay of Missouri and Jan Schakowsky of Illinois are the first two to sign up as co-sponsors. But, you know, typically with important legislation like this, you do that before you put it public. So there's plenty for the media to cover, and I don't believe that they need to just give sweet coverage to the impeachment issue. But they really should say, well, gosh, why? Why are people calling for the impeachment of Dick Cheney?
It would be nice if they covered it at all. I totally agree with you on that. And I haven't spoken to Speaker Pelosi since she's taken power, but I have spoken to Congress people close to her. And for some reason, she's one of the major obstacles in Congress for impeachment resolution to be introduced. So we have to work on her, too, to tell her that this isn't optional, it's mandatory. I mean, like you said, I've been calling for impeachment since the Republicans were in power, and I've been telling them, you know, I don't care what party you are, it's your constitutional duty to do this. And now, you know, it's frustrating that we still have to keep doing this with the Democrats.
Yeah. You were at that event last week with John Nichols, who writes for The Nation. He's published a book about impeachment. And he makes the case, as you just did a bit, that this is not an optional matter. This is not simply, you know, a political choice of, oh, gosh, do we want to embarrass the White House or not? I believe this is a constitutional requirement. And I want to put this very carefully because people get confused when you talk about impeachment. The first stage of the process is like a grand jury listening to evidence and testimony and determining if there are charges to pursue a criminal case. And that's the piece that I want to see go forward without interference from the speaker or anyone else. And it should have a life of its own. And if John Conyers and the Judiciary Committee find sufficient evidence and attract Republican votes for impeachment, then that's how the process should work. And
right.
we should not be blocking it for political reasons.
Well, you know, and I can't think of a good political reason that Pelosi would be blocking it. She comes from the most liberal district in the country. Polls are on her side that the American public would favor this. So I can't think of a good political reason. I talked to John Conyers last week, and he thinks that it might be political suicide for the Democrats to do this, where my good friend John Nichols points out that every time articles of impeachment have been introduced against the president, the opposition party has done much better in the next elections. So, you know, there's historical precedent that if the Democrats did this, they would only become stronger. And if they don't do this, I think this might be, you know, the Democratic Party.
Well, I fear for our nation more than any political party.
And absolutely. And I fear for, you know, 160,000 troops in Iraq now, and they're trying to send more. I fear for their families who could care less about. They're just worried to death about their children.
Yeah.
And this war isn't going to stop while George Bush is president. And our country cannot afford to wait till January of 2009. And if they don't want to embarrass the White House, too bad, because this White House has embarrassed our nation all over the world.
Cindy, we're going to take a break and return. If you'd like to talk with Cindy Sheehan, lines are open, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you're welcome to call here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KIXA. Ha!
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
And a good afternoon. I'm Joe Hoskinson with a look at your roadways. We do have a few problems to report. Soledad, northbound 101 before Campora, Gloria Road, an injury crash. A solo car overturned. That's in the center divide clearing up. Natividad at Rogie Road, an accident in the clearing stages. That's in the Salinas area. Also in Monterey, a stalled car northbound 101 at Camino Aguajito. The right lane is partially blocked by that stall. We'll take a look at slow conditions on Highway 17. You will find some slow traffic on southbound 17 as you make your way out towards Lexington Reservoir. But for the most part, you are looking at over the summit back into Santa Cruz. Some slow traffic at the Fishhook on southbound 1 as you make your way from 17 out towards Ocean, where Ocean converges onto southbound 1. Slow traffic there, and 183 slows out towards Salinas. Let's look at traffic brought to you by Mancini Sleep World. Live life. Rest easy during Mancini Sleep World Spring Clearance Mattress Sale. Save big on the largest selection of top brand mattresses. Call 1-800-64-SLEEP and start sleeping better tonight. I'm Joe Hoskinson, and that is traffic on KRXA AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is activist Cindy Sheehan. continue now on the PBC show. Cindy Sheehan with us for another segment. If you want to join us, toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Cindy, you have been waiting, almost 2.5 years now for the meeting that you requested with President Bush?
I requested it August 6th of 2005, so, yeah, not quite 2 years yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we don't protect Democrats on this program. There's a woman who we interviewed a few weeks ago who I know has been active in Washington with you, Tina Richards, who wants to get a meeting with Nancy Pelosi.
Right.
And to date, the speaker has not found time on her schedule to visit with Tina. Is that right?
That's correct. And Tina was arrested in her office last week or the week before, too, because she refused to leave. So, Speaker Pelosi's staff had her arrested.
I think that's really sad because, at minimum, they should be able to see the political issue here and say that a 15-minute meeting with Tina Richards means that I can't be compared to George W. Bush in terms of stonewalling the mother of an Iraqi war veteran. In her case, he is, you know, no longer physically qualified, and they've tried to send him back. Isn't that right?
That's correct, and I think it's horrible, too, that the speaker won't meet with Tina. These people have to know that their policies and their politics have a human effect on people, and I think it's really sad, and I don't protect Democrats at all either. I've gone after them as hard as I go after the Republicans. They're the ones in power now. They're the only ones that can make a change. And they have to realize that this war was lost before we even went in. And they have to have the courage to end it. They have to have the courage to meet with damaged families. And it just doesn't give me a lot of hope that we have a new change in Congress, because it doesn't seem like anything is changing.
Yeah. I got word today that you're planning an action in Washington on the day after Mother's Day, Monday, May 14th. Tell us about it.
Well, I decided to have a march, call for a march in Washington, D.C. on a day that's not a weekend, so people will actually be there and we can have a chance to shut the city down, to cause inconvenience to our elected officials, to demand an end to the war and an end to the Bush regime. And I got this idea from an activist who was active World War One, World War Two, and during the Vietnam War, named Jeanette Rankin. She was actually the first congresswoman ever who voted against World War One, and she voted against World War Two, and she was an anti-war activist during Vietnam. And she said if 10,000 mothers were willing to get arrested instead of sending their children to die in war, then this war would stop. And I really think that if we want peace, everybody in this country who wants peace is going to have to sacrifice something, some kind of comfort to make that happen. So I'm calling for people to gather in front of the White House at 12 noon that day. We're going to march to Congress. We're going to surround it, and we're going to stay there until we see some kind of policy change.
All right. That is in Washington on May 14th. Is there a website where people can get information, Cindy?
Yes, thecampkcpeaceinstitute.org.
The Camp Casey Peace Institute. Okay, I'm writing that down, Camp Casey. That's a long one.
Yeah, Camp Casey Peace Institute was already taken.
Oh, okay.
You know how people buy up the websites and stuff, so that's why we had to do that.
Yeah.
The Camp Casey Peace Institute is the organization I formed after Camp Casey to work for true and lasting peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought 5 acres in Crawford, Texas, and we're going to turn it into a veterans therapeutic farming center for veterans with PTSD and their families.
Well, that's necessary at this time because the government is not dealing with those issues very well. Cindy, there is an action today that Move On has called for, 6 o'clock tonight. People are gathering in communities across the country to protest the president's veto. I'm not too excited about this myself because the bill he vetoed wasn't one that I supported to begin with.
Well, absolutely. I almost publicly called for him to veto that bill. It was a very weak and step. It was a weak step that the Democrats thought that they were appeasing their anti-war left, which, you know, the anti-war left isn't stupid. You know, they called for, you know, still corporate control of Iraq's oil fields, and that our troops could stay there as long as they were training Iraqis, you know, Iraqi troops,
mm-hmm.
and these benchmarks that George Bush, if he met them, he could keep the troops there. Well, they've always put benchmarks in these funding bills, and he's never followed them. You know, and it was non-binding. George Bush doesn't even follow the Constitution. What's he going to do with a non-binding bill?
Yeah, and he falsely described it in his veto message last night as rigid timetables.
Right. Well, you know what? That only helps the Democrats. And I really think if MoveOn wanted to thwart it, and they would be protesting the Democrats who are still bound and determined to give George Bush more money to fund this war.
Yeah.
That's what we should be protesting. We should tell the Democrats to take our money away from George Bush, or take China's money away from George Bush.
That's the only.
We're going so far into debt for this.
It's the only way to get his attention, Cindy. Listen, I'm out of time. Thank you for joining us today, and please keep up your efforts. We're behind you.
We will. Thank you, Peter. Thank you for having me.
You bet, Cindy Sheehan. Coming up next, your phone calls, 888-5 Peter B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Ford Expedition, the second largest in the Ford SUV lineup. My demo is a 7-passenger Eddie Bauer edition, comfy and roomy, just like your family room on wheels. Powered by a 5.4-liter V8 engine with a 6-speed automatic, this big bus accelerates quickly, has great traction with 4x4, and is remarkably nimble for its size. With 4 captain chairs and a third-row bench, it's got all the gadgets and power toys you'd expect, including DVD player, satellite radio, nav system, and power liftgate and third seat. While it has backup sensors, I'd prefer a rear bumper camera on this big bus. By the numbers, the 2007 Ford Expedition gets about 13 miles in the city, 17 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $49,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
If you have a hard time losing weight, especially stubborn fat around the hips, thighs, and stomach, you need Affinity's Lose and Snooze. You can actually lose weight even while you sleep. The advanced Lose and Snooze formula in combination with the one-day diet plan will accelerate your weight loss dramatically. Lose and Snooze with natural ingredients is scientifically designed to help you lose up to 20 pounds a month while still eating your favorite foods. Start reshaping your body. Fit into that new wardrobe and lose those stubborn pounds safe and fast, even while you sleep. Try Lose and Snooze risk-free today. Buy 2 bottles of Lose and Snooze and you'll get a free supply of the one-day diet. If you are not completely satisfied with your weight loss within 30 days, simply send back any unused portion for a full refund of your purchase price. No questions asked. So start taking off those stubborn pounds today, even while you sleep. Call right now, 1-800-985-3668. That's 1-800-985-3668.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair. and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
We're in the free speech zone, and all my lines are open. The switchboard is dead right now, so bring it to life, will you? Dial in. It makes the light splash, and everything's better that way. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you know the rules. You can talk about any subject, take any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Friday, from 10 to noon Pacific, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern, I'll be sitting in on the Tom Hartman program nationwide. Looking forward to that.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
And Tom Friedman over there at the New York Times, the guy who's in love with globalization. I wonder if he gets his tech support call answered in the Philippines. Anyway, Mr. Six More Months, Please, has published an op-ed in today's New York Times that I think is interesting. He says that later this week there's a regional conference in Egypt, and Condi Rice, our Secretary of State, is being dispatched. Friedman argues in his column that Bush himself should go, and he even took the liberty of writing a speech for Bush to deliver. I'll give you a couple of excerpts. Now, keep in mind, this is Tom Friedman writing for the Voice of W. I want to take this opportunity to speak to the Arab and Muslim nations gathered here today and to the world at large. I begin with a simple message. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I rushed into the invasion of Iraq. I honestly believe that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. I was wrong. And I now realize that in unilaterally launching the war the way I did, you all feel that I breached a bond of trust between America and the world. Not only did that alienate you from us, it made us less effective in Iraq. We had too few allies, too little legitimacy. I apologize. Sincerely. Well, right there, Friedman has proven that he's writing comedy material, not actually a speech that the president might deliver. But I'll go on. I'm most sorry, though, because my bungling of the war has prompted all of us to take our eye off the ball. I messed up the treatment so badly. The people have forgotten the patient really does have a disease. Now that I've apologized, I hope you'll stop fixating on me and look closely at what is happening in your backyard. The forces and pathologies that brought us 9/11 are still there and multiplying. Now here, Friedman really goes off the road. He's citing one of the misleading mantras of Bush and Cheney that they still can't find their way out of, connecting 9/11 and our mess in Iraq. Come on, Friedman, you know better than that. All right, he goes on in the Voice of W. Friends, we are losing in Iraq. But whom are we losing to? Is it to the Iraqi Viet Cong, the authentic carriers of Iraqi nationalism? No, it's not. We're being defeated by nihilistic Islamist suicide bombers who are proliferating across the Muslim world. We are losing to people who blow up mosques, markets, hospital emergency wards, and girls' schools. They don't even tell us their names, let alone offer a future. And then he cites the carnage of the last few weeks and sums it up. That's 12 suicide bombers in a little over a week, and it's been like that every month. These suicide jihadists are so hard to defeat because they have no desire to build anything. So we jump ahead here. Again, this is Tom Friedman writing for the Voice of our misguided president. You may think that I'm more dangerous than Bin Laden and that a strong America is more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. You're wrong. If we're defeated in Iraq, they'll come after you. They already are. And if we're defeated in Iraq, you'll no longer have to contend with a world of too much American power. You'll have to contend with a world of too little American power. You will not like it. I'm not buying this, Friedman, but I'll let it go. Finally, he says, don't let your anger with me blind you to your own interests. You are holding your breath. I'll say that again. You are holding your breath until I turn blue. But I'm not going to turn blue. You are. I want to get out of Iraq as soon as possible, but I need you Arab leaders to get off the fence. I know that you fear democracy in Iraq, but the alternative is much worse. If the jihadists win, the Arab world will have no future. I need your help in forging a settlement in Iraq and in denouncing this suicide madness from every mosque and minaret every hour of every day with no qualifications. Friedman, I'd like some of that OxyContin that you've been taking. That way I wouldn't feel the pain quite so sharply. Let's take your calls. 888-5, Peter B. is our number, and we've got Chris and Salinas up first. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Hey, you know, as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion, the leadership of the Democratic Party in Congress holds conservative worldview. And in my opinion, they are not Democrats, and they're not seeing it like a true liberal Democrat would. So they're gonna just keep on with the same old, I don't know how to say it, status quo, mm-hmm. and keep the money flowing to the corporations. Yeah, they're gonna pass $100 billion of money that we don't have, with still no accountability for the money that's being spent in Iraq as it is.
You're right.
And
the money we're spending, billions of dollars, has been blown and squandered on reconstruction projects. The Inspector General for Iraq just issued another report a few days ago saying that things that opened 6 months ago that we had built, like schools and hospitals, are inoperable now due to shoddy construction, the kind of graft and corruption that is widespread in Iraq. And you are correct that, the Democrats really are paying lip service to ending the war. But Kucinich and Gravel in the joint appearance last week properly pointed out that these are people who continue to vote for additional money for this war. And they're trying to have it both ways. Oh, we can't vote against the money because we're not against the troops. We just want the president to change his policy. Well, I'm sorry. Democrats are going to have to make take a much tougher line if they're going to have any impact on this president.
Well, we need to change the leadership in the Congress. You know, who's to say that Nancy Pelosi should be leader? Who is the one that says that Harry Reid should be the leader? And Steny Hoyer, I listened to Steny Hoyer today, we will not defund the troops. You know, it's like we're not defunding the troops. There's enough money to bring them home and bring them home now.
Yeah.
Who are we supporting?
Maxine Waters, the congresswoman from Los Angeles, was on the Stephanie Miller show today. I don't know if you got to catch her. But she's very clear that she basically shares your and my view, Chris, that the Democrats have to find courage to vote to cut off the funding altogether, because that's the only way that this president will get the message and be forced to take appropriate action.
Well, they did it before. And also another thing is, what about all the contradictions from the other side about timelines? I mean, they were all over Clinton, over Somalia and for Bosnia, about timelines. George Bush has a quote, George W. Bush has a quote that says, we need certain timetables in order to execute this war. I mean, that's, not the quote itself,
mm-hmm.
but they're all out there, yet nobody's citing it. I think actually Nancy Pelosi cited one quote. But it's not being played out in the media, and people can't see this as a complete contradiction to what they're saying now about this occupation.
Yeah, very well put. Chris, thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
Nice to hear from you today. It looks like Johnny's on the line. Is this Oxy Johnny?
I do, Peter.
Oh, it is.
I can't believe you had a communist lady on there. What's her name from the Casey Ranch or whatever the hell?
Yeah, Cindy Sheehan?
Yeah, what? She bought 5 acres in Crawford, Texas. I hope she puts up a Walmart. Because you got to go all the way into town to get anything you need. Hope she puts up a Walmart and puts that land to good use.
Johnny.
Yes, sir.
Can we explain for our listeners, you're a former liberal. You call the program every once in a while. And you've been on disability and taking painkillers and watching Fox News too much, right?
Well, I got them right here, Peter. You want to hear it? Some people sound like a rattlesnake, they say, but... Right there. They're the little babies. OxyContin got them right there.
Yeah, the hillbilly heroin.
That's what you got. A little song. OxyContin, what are you wanting? OxyContin, have you forgotten? Anyway, so what the hell does this woman want all the time? You know, blah, blah, me. I'm the only person that had
Johnny,
somebody go off to war.
Johnny.
I got to meet with the president. You know
Johnny.
What? I've been calling Robin Williams for 12 years. Want to talk to him about that movie Popeye. What the hell was that? Somebody needs to answer. You don't call me back. Everybody can't see everybody.
Yeah, but come on. It's been over 2 years, and Bush can't find 15 minutes in his schedule.
Well, what does she want?
She wants to talk to him about...
And say what?
Well, she lost her son. He was killed in Iraq. And she wants to talk to the president and try to prevent other families from losing their loved ones.
Well, why don't you just do what other people do and you know, just whatever they do? Like, everybody can't, just what, 3,300 of these poor patriots who went over there and lost their lives in this war trying to protect America, so we don't have to fight them here in the Bay Area or wherever you happen to be.
Oh, right. Yeah,
they come over.
Yeah, they're going to ride BART. And
they'll come right up. You damn liberals in the Bay Area, oh, let the immigrants in. We're having an immigrant rally. Well, they're going to let everybody in. Next thing you know, how you know, Al-Qaeda, Al Martinez, you don't know the difference.
Oh, Johnny, you're a mess. Are your meds wearing off? Do you think
I don't know. Sometimes you got to take a few more than you did the day before, and I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they see the expiration date on there. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Johnny, you've been watching Fox News today. What are the headlines?
Oh, my God. Fox News, that's the only news.
All right.
Oh, Kucinich, blah, blah, impeach. You know, they can't go over to W because he's too wily.
Now, wait a minute. Does Fox News actually mention impeachment?
Well, no. I was listening to you a little earlier.
Oh.
I have to go listen to you to get my blood worked up. You didn't watch Fox News. You just sit there and say, right, I agree. Mm-hmm. But you listen to some of these callers you have on the Peter B. Collins show. Woo-hoo, man, I got to take an OxyContin and try to sit back and take a deep breath.
Yeah. All right. Well, Johnny, thanks for checking in with us today, I think.
All right. Well, we'll check up on Dennis Kucinich, and they're going to try and go after the vice president there, because you know why? W2 Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
Too Wiley.
Yeah.
Come
okay,
on.
Johnny.
Stay
pain-free.
OxyContin, what do you want?
Oh, boy. We get the most amazing callers here at the Peter B. Collins Show. No reflection on our next caller. This is Dave in the Pinnacles. Hello, Dave.
Well, hi, Peter. No doubt. Hey, I just wanted to quickly change gears here,
sure.
and even probably one of the most sinister issues of the age, and that is this genetic engineering and this, like, what is it, Montano or whatever, Monsanto.
Monsanto, they're in charge of the Frankenfood franchise.
Right. Well, anyways, my brother just informed me there's this flick out called Future Food Supply.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to see that flick, man. You can get it on Netflix. It just leave you dumbfounded.
Give me one example. What's in it?
Well, there's this farmer that had some of their genetically altered seed blown onto his property, and instead of them coming over there and cleaning up their mess, they sue him, and our crooked court system back him up.
Now, wait a minute. That's the case of Percy Schmeiser, right?
I'm not sure.
I just want to be accurate. I'm not dismissing what you're saying, but it was actually a Canadian court sanctioned Percy Schmeiser, and your facts are correct. He has never wanted to grow crops with Roundup Ready seeds, but a neighbor bought them, and they blew onto his property, and then the Monsanto Frankenfood crop cops came and found it on his property, and they successfully pursued legal action against him in Canada. I haven't actually heard a case of that happening in the U.S., but Monsanto is very aggressive, in protecting its perceived rights. And this is a pesticide company that's gone out of its way to buy up all of the seed stock in the world. And in many cases, they are modifying it in these manners that promote the use of their pesticides like Roundup.
Right. It's just an incredible story, and people need to be aware of what's going on with these corporations. I mean, when they can just literally take our food away from us and we have no legal recourse, it's just an unbelievable example of the taxes drifting into our society and how the corporations are just literally just taking over our lives.
Dave, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much.
Hey, bye.
More of your calls coming up next. Grab a line. There are two lines open right now. 888-5-PETER-B. There are four lines open. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. Starting May 14th, the Ed Schultz Show moves to 9 a.m. to noon right here on KRXA 540. So join us for the best in talk radio, news, commentary, and your calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be on the Ed Schultz Show, 9 a.m. to noon, starting May 14th, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. There's a line open for you in the free speech zone right now at 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. And I appreciate your calls and comments here on the program. Let me adjust my screen here and identify Judy in Ocean Park, Washington. Thanks for calling, Judy.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Great. Congratulations on filling in for Tom Hartman.
Well,
really enthused.
Well, thank you. And
great to have you to get that kind of exposure.
Well, I love doing it, and Tom is a great guy, and he's always kind enough to let me know when he wants to take some time off. So,
how long will it be, and when does it start?
It's Friday, 10 to noon Pacific time. Tom's going to do the first hour brunch with Bernie.
Right.
And then he's got to duck out, and that's when I'll plug in and take over and finish out the rest of
Michael
the show.
Good. Mike Loy takes next week off. Why don't you fill in for him, too?
Okay, I'll check that out.
Would you? Thanks, that would be neat.
Uh-huh.
We look forward to hearing you every day. It's really great up here because there isn't much else.
Well, thanks for taking the trouble to listen online.
Well, we have no choice, Peter. We're kind of caught here without any radio service at all.
Where is Ocean Park?
It's up above Long Beach, Washington.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a rugged coastal area,
mm-hmm.
Fishing, eagles, bears.
And what draws you there?
Well, we came and started a photography business about 10 years ago.
Oh, and you make a good living at it?
Not anymore. No, we retired.
Oh,
so
okay.
We spend most of our time walking our husky and taking pictures.
Okay.
But right now, we're really concerned about what's going on CNN and some of these other that we get online.
Mm-hmm.
We quit TV, like I said, 2 years ago.
Oh, so you're...
We're really noticing...
You only use the Internet, then, and,
exactly.
And you get your video in
a little
clips?
NPR,
mm-hmm.
You know, but very little because the station is also caught in the same kind of vortex we are.
Yeah.
And so, but we just find it horrible what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming worse instead of better. We thought maybe as things, you know, the Democrats took over that we'd see a little lightning or Bill Moyers would, you know, bring some... light to the end of the tunnel where we are, but it's the train coming.
Now, did you get to see the Bill Moyers special on PBS
last
week? Yeah,
we can pick all that up on the Internet.
Yeah, because it was really good.
Yes, and like I said, 2-3 years too late, but good.
Mm-hmm.
But he
mm-hmm.
almost lost his voice, so it's amazing he's back on it all.
Well, and if you look at the I'm putting this in quotes, the balance that PBS has struck.
Yeah, it's
he got 90 minutes following a week in which PBS devoted, I believe, 4 or 5 hours to America at a Crossroads, which included a lot of Bush administration propaganda, including an hour that was hosted by Richard Pearl.
Yeah, we heard about that.
I mean,
ghastly.
So that's quite a price to pay.
But what we're seeing here is now almost like that. Did you hear that McDonald resigned from the Endangered Species Committee today? That the hack?
No, I didn't.
Civil engineer. Okay, mm-hmm. She was a civil engineer that was a Bush appointee from the Christian College. You remember
uh-huh.
that?
Right, Regent University or
exactly.
Liberty.
Thank uh-huh. you. I couldn't recall the name.
Now, she didn't resign because she's on the D.C. Madams list, did she?
it wouldn't surprise me. But, no, that wasn't it. She finally resigned, but it was because she had shared all of the information the biologists had given her on the endangered species
mm-hmm.
with the lobbyists.
Mm-hmm.
And she was finally caught at it.
Mm-hmm.
But if one of these creatures is caught, two more pop up.
Yeah.
And that's what we feel about CNN right now, like they are in there and they are writing copy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole Interior Department has just been a wrecking crew. We've got, Gail Norton, who came out of the law firm and lobbying group in Colorado State that, represents resource extractors.
And you were mentioning Gordon Smith and that, you know, with the Klamath Falls Indians and,
mm-hmm.
and the horrendous amount of damage that's been done to the fish down there. Well, we suffer the horrible culmination of the frustration of the fishermen here. They're shooting these beautiful stellar sea lions, and these are different from your southern sea lions.
Mm-hmm.
They have big golden manes, and they're not trainable. They just are big old predators that eat fish, you know.
Yeah.
And they are shooting them,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming ashore, you know, gut shot, and we're finding them all the time.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
Oh,
but back
that's
to the,
a difficult thing to watch.
Back to the Interior Department, there
right.
was this other guy, Stephen Griles, who was an undersecretary, and he did all kinds of things. I mean, he was a lobbyist before he worked
right.
there at Interior.
Yeah, weren't they all?
And while he was there, he did favors for his friends, got some work for his girlfriend, and then they bought a house together with an industry lobbyist.
That's nice.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I remember hearing or reading about that somewhere.
Yep.
Probably on Huffington or one mm-hmm. of those. But, you know, we just have noticed that things have gone from bad to worse in the news department.
Yeah. Well, Judy, I want to take one more call before I run out of time.
Sure.
But thanks for checking in. And
it's nice to have you, Peter, and thank you for your good work.
You are now deputized as Vice President for Marketing in your whole area code.
Okay.
Okay?
We'll do it.
Spread the word. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Ron in Watsonville, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi. I've been listening for a long time. First chance to call in. I'm usually on the road. I appreciate your open forum and that you do take all points of view, but Mr. Oxygiani is starting to drive me up the wall.
Really?
Because I think he's mixing his meds, Fox News and Oxycontin.
Hey, those are dangerous combinations.
Apparently so, but he seems to get on the same kind of rant. And
well, fortunately, he's not driving.
Okay, we're looking at the positive side there. So, I don't know, maybe we can put him on an egg timer or something like that. And just, if I know it's going to end within 2 minutes, I can take it. Or is that a three-minute egg?
Well, we'll try to be humane, okay?
I appreciate that.
But we also try to give people an opportunity to express themselves or, in some cases, to hang themselves on their own words.
Well, that's what brings me here, so I look forward to it in the afternoon.
All right, Ron, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to talk with you. Thanks to everybody for a great show today. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Rocky Anderson, the mayor of Salt Lake City, an outspoken critic of the Bush administration, supporter of impeachment, among our guests tomorrow.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website when it works at peterbcollins.com. That's where you can access archived programs and our live stream every day.
Who cares about the clouds?
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk, uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk, uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Yesterday was a day that highlighted differences. Today's a day where we can work together to find common ground.
President Bush met with congressional leaders just hours after the House, as expected, failed to override his veto of the bill that set a timetable for withdrawal from Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Everyone called it a positive and constructive meeting. Even Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said Democrats will work with President Bush in the search for common ground on a war funding bill he's willing to sign.
We will do that to the best of our ability, keeping in mind the responsibilities we have to do everything we can to end this war.
Nearly identical words were spoken by House Speaker Pelosi, who said Democrats remain committed to end the war. And if they stick to a timeline for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq, President Bush says he'll cast yet another veto. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
There's backlash in Los Angeles, where late yesterday police used batons and rubber bullets to disperse a crowd at an immigration rally. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
At a hard-hitting news conference, Police Chief William Bratton promised a complete and very public investigation. He stopped short of blaming his officers, but several times Bratton talked about how he is troubled by what he has seen on videotape and heard.
I share the understandable concern and frustration of all of you that once again the department, its members, and the community are involved in such a troubling event.
Bratton said the actions of some of his officers cannot and will not be tolerated. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Severe storms are pounding parts of Texas right now. Dallas and Tarrant counties are hard hit with high wind and torrential rain. KRLD Radio's L.P. Phillips says it's worse than a hurricane.
The wind is just whipping around me here. A lot of lightning, a lot of thunder, and the rain is actually coming down harder than you'll find in a hurricane because it's so much, the drops are so much bigger. This is a one heavy rain, and combined with these winds, I saw one guy who had just been blown off his motorcycle on I-20.
There have been tornado sightings, but so far no reports of touchdowns. A freight train hauling space shuttle parts derailed today, injuring six people aboard. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has details.
The derailment happened in a rural part of Alabama when a bridge collapsed under a freight train carrying parts of booster rockets used to launch the space shuttle.